Views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Oh, what a beautiful day in paradise it is, isn't it, folks? Nothing like living in Santa Cruz. Well, welcome. My name's Richard Quigley. I'm going to be here for this part of the noonday news at noon. I like to call it the United States Freedom Fighter Forum. This is a little talk show that they allow me to come on and do once a week on Thursday afternoons here at KSCO. And that means, talk show means that not only I get to, but hopefully you get to. Call in lines if you're interested in calling and comment on anything I'm talking about, or you got something else you want to talk about, doesn't matter. The phone lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. If you fax me in, it's big enough for me to read. Fax line is 831-475-2967. Check in now and then, let me know that I'm getting out. An old CBers term, by the way, for those of you that haven't been there. I'm a free man today, I guess, as close as I've been in a long time. It's been about a year and a half since I called down there at the sheriff's office and asked him how many warrants there were for my arrest, and actually got none. So I'm going to share with you exactly how that works. There's been a warrant for my arrest out, I'm guessing, a year and a half. At least one. It got it high at one point toward the end of last year. I think there were seven at one time. And it's gone back. This one that was out there that just went away has been around since October. And it is a direct and proximate result of my knowing the law that it got there in the first place. And it's, I guess, because I know a little bit about the law, it went away. And so the story on that is... Do I want to do that yet? Let me get my... No, I'll do my rant. I'll do my rant later. Let's talk about how I got a warrant for my arrest. That's a fairly serious matter. By the way, it was a bogus warrant, but that's okay. The way this thing came about is I called down to the sheriff's office on... I believe it was Tuesday to talk to their head of professional standards and conduct, to explain to him my concerns about what had happened in the days preceding that. So this was like, we're talking day before yesterday. I gave him a call. What had happened was that I left the shopping center down in Aptos, the Rancho Del Mar shopping center. I'd been in there to have a cup of coffee with my friends. I was getting ready to leave. And I pulled out to the driveway. There's a driveway that leads out to Soquel, which leads out to town. And as I turned the corner to get in the driveway, lo and behold, here's this deputy's car in front of me. And I don't know who the deputy was, and I'm going to apologize to him in the hopes that he's listening for putting him in an awkward position, because anybody that's current with what Quigley does, I have a problem with the helmet law, and I'm dealing with that problem through what they like to call a loophole, but it just happens to be a fact that they have a law that requires us to wear something nobody wants to define. So I'm wearing my particular version of a helmet, which to a lot of people looks like a baseball cap and therefore doesn't qualify as a helmet. But so far, nobody showed me that in the law. And the officers pretty much have decided that that whether it's right or wrong, I'm not getting any fair shake in the court. At least I think that's what it is. So they generally try not to bother me about it. And I tried to avoid getting in situations where they have to. Anyway, I ended up directly behind this deputy's car. And we kind of pulled out, and I stayed behind him for a while. And I think that he thinks that there was some sort of juvenile, sophomoric thing on my part to see if I couldn't harass him over the thing, you know, flaunting the fact that I was breaking the law, which I don't believe I was doing at all. In any case, Monday... I had another officer come up to me and point out to me that I had a warrant for my arrest. And I thought, well, yeah, and I told him, yeah, that was true. And quite frankly, I was waiting for somebody to enforce that warrant because I was going to head over to federal court to see if I couldn't loosen things up or tighten things up for everybody. They have a process down in the traffic court where they issue all kinds of warrants that do not meet the criteria of an arrest warrant. And they do it all the time. I'm guessing that there's probably into the thousands, given the size of this county, of bogus warrants out there for people's arrest. And I imagine that there's every day somebody arrested on the basis of one of these warrants, and every day somebody hauled off to jail. And it's one of those deals where if you do not complain, it is assumed that it's okay with you, that they ignore your rights under the law. So on Monday, this deputy pointed out to me that there's a warrant for my arrest, and it sort of raised an eyebrow because I thought, well, okay, if he's heard about that, since it's been around since last year sometime, the reason that he must have brought that up is because that officer that I inadvertently got behind on Saturday might have been upset about that and was talking about it. And so that came up in conversation, I'm thinking, within the department. Now, this is all guesswork because I don't know these things to be true, but I just suspected it. And my life in the last few months has taken a turn where it's more important for me to get where I'm going now when I leave the house. So I decided I needed to go ahead and address this thing with the warrant. So I headed down to the county building Monday afternoon, and I headed up to the sheriff's office because they're the ones that hold all these warrants. And as I walked up to the window, the young woman that works at the window, her greeting was a notice that I had a warrant for my arrest. And by the way, it's not uncommon for me to call down to the sheriff's office before I leave the house to find out if I have warrants, because if it's important that I get somewhere, I sort of need to know whether or not I have the shot of getting there. Anyway, so the conversation started with her pointing out that I had a warrant, and I asked if she could, if it'd be okay if I looked at the warrant. I'd like to see the warrant. And so she broke out the warrant, and they held it away from me. They didn't want to hand it to me because I don't think they believe that I might tear it up or something, or run with it or something, but I think it's just sort of in case somebody would. So they held it up so that I could see it, close enough so I could see it, but out of reach. I don't have the sense that would cause me to take it personal. I didn't at all. I think that they're just concerned about doing something that would get them in trouble. Anyway, so I first thing I noticed about this warrant was that there was no signature. So I commented on that. I said, well, you know, down there, it is. Can you have an arrest warrant? I mean, we're talking about a warrant for someone's arrest so that a person is going about their life as a free and natural person, and the law stops them and arrests them on the basis of this document. So that these warrants have to have certain elements to them in order to be valid warrants. One of them is, to my knowledge, a judge's signature. Now, if somebody out there knows how they can do it without a judge's signature, go ahead and give me a call. The call-in lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. Fax is 475-2967. This is KSCO, AM 1080. Anyway, I don't know of any way that these warrants are valid. So I looked at that. Warrant, and I saw no judge's signature, and I commented on that. And the young lady behind the counter pointed at the clerk's initials on a different section of the warrant, and the clerk's initials indicate that warrant was filed after it was signed by a judge. But as I understand the fast and loose way they play down in traffic court, what they do is they just have a stamp, and they stamp the judge's name over there where his signature's supposed to be, and the clerk actually makes the decision whether or not there's enough probable cause to issue a warrant for somebody's arrest. Which brings us to the next part of the warrant that I noticed. I'm looking up in the right-hand corner where it has the charges. And I see the vehicle code number for a helmet law violation, and I've seen a few of those, and I've seen about 20 of those tickets in the last 4 years that I've been doing this. And behind it was the capital letter I. And then there was another charge there. I think it's vehicle code section 16028A, which was not showing proof of insurance when you're stopped. And to the right of it, again, this letter I. So I asked the lady, I said, well, do you happen to know what that I means, what those I stand for? And she says, well, means it's they're infractions. And I said, well, can you arrest somebody for an infraction? I mean, issue a warrant to have somebody arrested for an infraction? And, of course, I didn't get any answer to that. But I know that at least it's my understanding, and again, I'm prepared to stand corrected, but my experience teaches me that, no, you can't have a warrant for an arrest for an infraction. So I had this called to the attention of Mark Tracy, and it's my understanding that Mark's attitude was, why should we do anything different? Because I was asking that the warrant be pulled, you know, by the sheriff's office because it was a bogus warrant, and his attitude was, why should we do anything different from Mr. Quigley? You know, if they're all like that. And, of course, I guess they are all like that. And I have an answer for you, Mark. The reason that you do things different from Mr. Quigley is that the way the law is set up, those things that people acquiesce to, do not complain about, you do not have to regard their constitutional rights as a matter of law. Now, as a matter of principle, I would if I were in your position, but then on the other hand, I have principles. Tracy decided to go ahead and leave that warrant there, and I thought, well, you know, this is kind of weird. So I talked to the guy that I'd spoken with to get a hold of Mark about the thing, and I apologized because now it looked like he was going to end up having to testify in federal court about something if they ended up arresting me on this because of his conversation with Mark, where Mark decided to leave the warrant stand and recommended that he get a hold of county council and talk to them about their position, their legal position on this thing. Yesterday afternoon, I called down to the sheriff's office. I called down to the court. I got a call in the morning saying that Tracy wouldn't pull the warrant. I called the court that afternoon and was going to try to talk to Judge Yonce, either to come in his courtroom and turn myself in on this warrant or to meet him in chambers or somewhere to talk about why there would be a warrant with his name stamped down and where the judge's signature is supposed to be, purporting to order me arrested for two infractions. And so they transferred me. I tried to get through the court administrator, and they didn't know anything, and they kind of transferred me over to a criminal side of the Superior Court Clerk's office, and they transferred me down to the traffic court. I no sooner started the conversation, and a lot of these people, believe it or not, actually recognized my voice over the phone. And before I even had a chance to introduce myself, I think I'd just gone to the hello part. Young lady at the other end tells me that they'd just pulled my warrant. They'd ordered it recalled, and it was like, well, isn't that interesting? So this is a red-letter day. You know, Richard Quigley is out operating, and he has no warrants for his arrest that I know of. I called just before I went on the air to make sure, and I've called so many times down there to check, see if I have warrants. I hardly have to even announce who I am anymore. I just simply ask if it's safe to leave the house today or something along those lines. Government job has got to be the most boring job in the world. So when I deal with the folks down there, I try to keep things light and a little humor in it, stuff like that. So I'll couch things in odd terms. So that's, you know, it's not unusual for me to call up and say, is it safe to leave the house today? And I get a chuckle at the other end, and then they'll tell me how many warrants I have. And today the number is zero. So if I get arrested today, it's going to have to be for some crime I commit, which brings us to the next interesting thing. And that is, how does this whole thing about infractions and arresting people for infractions, and how do you deal with somebody if you can't arrest them for an infraction, how do you cite them for an infraction? And That's kind of an interesting one. That's how this thing came to get to the point where it went to warrant. So I'm going to back up and tell that story now. For those of you that are interested in hearing it, I guess you're not calling in because you don't want to interrupt me. That's okay with me. This is KSCO AM 1080. Call-in lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. The fax line is 475-2967. And Leo and Aptos wants to talk to me. Nobody's going to tell me why. I'll go ahead and take a shot at this. This is okay with me. Leo, welcome to KSCO.
Hello.
How you doing? What's going on?
Fine. Oh, I was just listening to your show, and I had heard something on your last show, and I just was wondering about something.
Sure, ask.
Yeah, I was. You had said something about burkas on your last show, and I was just wondering if you could expand on that a little bit.
Now I know which Leo. you're sandbagging me, dude, but that's okay. We're not going to do the burka show today, but I promise you we will do the burka show, Leo. You are one funny dude. I owe you, dude. I'll be down to the coffee shop in a bit to pay you back. Thank you.
Hey, one more question for you.
Yeah, go ahead, Leo.
Hey, I was wondering if you wanted to expand on Hemingway a little bit.
Oh, yeah, let's do that before I get down to my traffic stop. I will talk to you about Pee-wee. Thanks for calling in, Leo. I'll give you your answer off the air. Is that okay?
Take care.
Okay, bud. Say hi to the Goop for me. That's one of those young people I hang out with down there at the coffee roasting company. I got no business hanging around with them, but heck of a lot of fun, and they keep me young. Yeah. Sergeant Joe Hemingway. Now, here's an interesting story about the workings of my old buddy, and I guess you'd almost make him my nemesis, Mark Tracy. I really don't like him. I don't like him as sheriff. I don't know him as a person. He might be okay. I suspect probably not, but as sheriff, he's just, you folks could have done so much better in 94. And I'm not saying me. There are three other guys on that panel, any one of which would have been a whole lot better than what you chose and have again and have just elected again. But he's got this guy working for him that he put into that area down there in the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center in one of these sheriff's substations. Now, Aptos is not one of the areas in this county that's known for its level of crime. In fact, if if you wanted to show an area where you could go live where it's pretty much safe to live there, Aptos would be where you'd go. So they put in these substations, and because of the grants, they have to have activity. So all of a sudden, normal behavior becomes criminalized. And the first guy they put in there was this Dave Deverell character, who was a complete idiot. And he finally left, as far as I'm concerned, in shame. Now, he was, of course, promoted out of there because he did a great job, according to Mark's assessment. But Mark's got a unique problem down there because he lives right down the street from the shopping center. I'm sure that his family shop at that shopping center. And I don't know, but I guess that his wife's probably got a pretty good relationship with many of the shop owners down there. That political circle moves beyond the average person. These are all the six-figure guys. Anyway, so he decides when Deverell leaves, they send in this guy, Hemingway, Joe Hemingway. Now, I knew Joe when he was back in internal affairs years ago with the sheriff's office. And so we'd had so much problem with that sheriff station down there. I thought when I found out that he was going to be the guy in there, I called down there to find out how it was going to go, whether or not he was going to continue with his reputation of being a complete jerk, which he was when he was high school. He was a playground monitor. And if you can be a fascist playground monitor, he was the one. The guys that went to school with him said he was just an obnoxious, completely obnoxious jerk, you know, power tripping on this playground monitor thing. And so I called and asked whether or not he was going to come at the community or whether he was willing to come down there and join in, you know, come out and play checkers with the young people and get acquainted and act like part of the community. And his answer was real short and quick, you know. I'm here to run that sheriff station. None of your business. Okay, Joe. You're the guy. The only way he could have made sergeant would have been under somebody like Tracy. I don't know that Al Norton would have ever elevated him there. But anyway, so I figured, okay, they're going to run this guy into this community. People don't know who he is. And he's going to be affecting our young people in a very substantial way because he is the most visible role model demonstration of what a police officer is. And I was just thinking what a terrible idea, which, of course, you know, that's Mark. But in order to get him well introduced and to let him know that I wasn't real interested in him coming at the community, I went down and pulled up some old newspaper articles because it seems that way back in the late 80s, early 90s, there was a newspaper report about a Santa Cruz County deputy sheriff by the name of Joe, Sergeant Hemingway, who got busted in a porno theater over in Seaside with his, what he explained to be his fiance, which is, I guess, what, if you're a cop, you call a hooker when you get caught in a porno theater with her, with apparently his fly open, which is what got him arrested. So he broke out his badge, I'm a cop, you can't do anything to me, kind of thing. And ultimately, they didn't press any charges against him. That was the second article that I found in the old Sentinels and printed up. So I pulled these articles out where he had been busted into porno theater, and then the article where they didn't prosecute him because there was insufficient evidence of indecent exposure, which I'm assuming that he either got the nickname Pee Wee because he was, you know, doing sex acts in a porno theater like that TV guy, Pee Wee Herman, or maybe because there was insufficient evidence of indecent exposure. Don't know. Doesn't matter. That became his nickname there in the community. And, of course, he did. He came at the community. He did not win over the young people. He did not set a decent example for them. He continued to feed the paranoia of the old against the young so that the old people in the community would never get to cross those bridges to the young, which is how a community stays healthy. When you have age groups of people that are separated out and don't communicate with one another and don't understand one another, they build resentment and distrust, so that the older members of the community down there do not trust the young people in that community. And the young people, because they've been treated with such distrust, don't necessarily feel like endearing themselves to the older members of the community. And it's just convoluted and wrong. But they got a guy in there that's a playground monitor, grown up, and a sergeant now. So he don't know how to handle all this stuff. So through the course of all of his stuff that he did, I think probably the most blatant thing he ever did was to Jerry Henry. Jerry Henry is a guy that was street minister to these young people in the area at the time that Joe came in. One of the things that Mr. Henry did on his own time with his own money was he would run around and grab food sources that were available throughout the county. And he would load those in his truck, and he would distribute them to not only the food kitchens that feed the homeless and the poor in the county, but he would also hand out food things to poor people that he personally knew that were part of the Aptos community. And Joe Hartzner was, Joe Hemingway was absolutely interested in doing all he could to get Mr. Henry out of that shopping center. That had been the mission of that office since its inception. And so he decided to take the route, and he was going to shut Mr. Henry down by calling. He took offense to a couple of ways that Jerry had parked in that parking lot and decided to make an issue of it, and contacted the Department of Motor Vehicles stating that the man was an extremely reckless driver and or crazy and should have his license suspended. Now, the DMV don't mess around with reports like that because they don't know that Sergeant Hemingway's an idiot. And they don't know that he's a vindictive little jerk. They just, you know, he's an officer. He calls in and reports those things. The DMV is obligated, and I'm glad they're obligated, to immediately suspend a license when they get that kind of report. So they suspend Mr. Henry's license. Well, I got involved in that because the closest hearing date that Jerry could get his license back, and this is a man that lives 7 miles out of town. There's no way for him to get even to town, much less distribute food without a license. I pulled a few strings with some folks I knew at the DMV, and we cut that 45 days to a hearing time down to about a week, week and a half. And there was a hearing that was taking place over in San Jose. By the way, this is KSCO AM 1080. I'm Richard Quigley. I'm sitting here doing the United States Freedom Fighter Forum. The call-in lines are 479-1080, 477-1340, fax is 475-2967. At this hearing, Jerry was represented by a friend of ours, Kate Wells, and a local attorney here, an activist. She went into the hearing to talk about the evidence that Mr. Henry could not operate a vehicle, or that he was insane, or any of the other crap that Hemingway had said about him. And the hearing officer sat there and listened to that testimony, and then they called Hemingway in. And I'm giving this to you as it was reported to me. I wasn't actually in the room. So this is just what was reported to me by people that I trust. As far as what was spoken and what was said in there, what happened was a matter of public record. Anyway, Hemingway goes in there, and when the judge starts talking to him, he's just shaking, like, you know, just shaking, just trembling. while he's talking to this administrative judge from the DMV, to the point that the judge even said to him, what are you shaking about, you know? Oh, I had a cold, you know, I've been taking some medication. Nonsense. He's on steroids. That's what makes him goofy, is he's on steroids. Look at him. I mean, he's bulked up off of steroids. I understand he wears a eyeliner. I've never got close enough and stood there long enough to check, but this is one twisted little dude, okay? Anyway, the short version of this meeting was is that with almost no exception, after the meeting, the administrative law judge will take a week to 10 days to notify you whether or not you get your license back. What happened on this day was the administrative law judge picked up the telephone, called Sacramento, and said, there has been a mistake. I want this man's license reinstated immediately. Now, this problem was turned over to Mark Tracy in the sheriff's department about Hemingway lying about Jerry, about using his power and influence to get that license suspended, all these abuses that any internal affairs office would have just slammed him down for. And the reason I'm telling you the story is that I just found out with all these officers they got retiring from the Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office, at the top of the list for lieutenant is one Joseph Hemingway. And knowing Mark Tracy, like I've learned to know him, I can pretty much guarantee you that Hemingway's going to be a lieutenant as soon as they can get that bar on him. And it's just, it's a tribute to the kind of nonsense that Mark Tracy does every day. Nobody helps me straighten this man out. You guys need to start paying closer attention. You need to start calling in and raising hell with him, telling him to straighten up. I have run past when I was supposed to run these commercial spots. So we're going to have a little bit of airtime for the folks that make this show possible. And I'll be back in just a minute to talk about some other stuff.
I go to Epcot Academy. I love my school because it's...
Well, thank you very much. Okay, I hope I handled it for you, Leo. That's the best job I can do. The way he got to top of lieutenant's list, by the way, this Joe Hemingway character, the way he got to the top of that list, as I understand it, is that there's a room full of people sat there and interviewed him and talked to him. And I guess he makes a good argument for himself. I don't know. Like I said, my conversations with him have been very limited. I have very little use for unethical people, especially cruel, unethical people. But I'm always prepared to stand corrected, and it's... I understand that Mark's online and wants to challenge me on my position on Sergeant Hemingway. Mark, are you there? Welcome to KSCO.
Yeah, I've worked with Joe Hemingway for the last couple of years. He's been involved with several forums put on by the Aptos High PTA. Then he is also directly involved with the youth group informing the what they were working on is form an Aptos area skateboard park. And Joe's interaction with parents and the kids has been fantastic. He's been very responsive, and I find him nothing more than working with him being a gentleman. And I'm just curious of the courage of your convictions. Why are you telling us your problem with Joe Hemingway? Why don't you tell him? I don't see where you can get on the radio, quote some unsubstantiated rhetoric here, and... go tell the man to his face. Don't tell us.
Well, Mark, he knows. He knows exactly how I feel about him. I've addressed him on the issue several times. I've invited him several times to discuss.
Yeah, do you realize that maybe most of the working people in this county really don't care? Aren't you the individual who got a restraining order to leave the poor women who work at Gottschalk's down there at Rancho Del Mar alone so they could get to work? You wouldn't be harassing them?
Yeah.
And another thing, isn't Rancho Del Mar, how do you describe it? Is it not private property protected by the Constitution?
No.
It's not private property.
No. Well, it is and it isn't.
It is private property. And if you believe in the protection of the Constitution and private property, and for those store owners to put their savings, their income, their livelihood out on the line, and they don't want the ne'er-do-wells disturbing their customers that come in and, create their livelihood, that's their decision. If they don't want you on their private property, they don't want your friends on their private property, that's their right. And believe me, they're exercising it.
Mark, I respect your opinion. I do not respect the fact that you pass on rumors as if they're not true, but that's okay. You can only know what you know. I also believe that you're acting in good faith. I don't think you're just calling me names. I would like to believe that you would give me the same consideration. Now, I'll tell you what. I do spend a lot of time down there, and I would be more than happy at somewhere besides on the air, because this is not really the right forum for the amount of detail.
But did not a woman file complaints against you, a woman who works at Gotcha, could not get to work because you were harassing her, trying to get in her store?
No, she filed a complaint against me claiming that I had threatened her.
Well,
and got
there
a,
you go.
And got a restraining order. Well, there I go. What?
There you go. You threaten women. You impugn men over
Mark.
The air, not directly to their
Mark.
Face. I just don't see the courage
Mark.
In any of your actions that you're taking.
Mark, not only did I deny threatening her, I denied it then, I deny it now. There were two people that walked into court today. They were going to issue that restraining order. They were prepared to testify that they were there and heard every word. I was accosted by the woman, Mark. What I did was tell her to go away and leave me alone. She was ordering me around like I was some sort of property, telling me to move along when, in fact, I was doing nothing to her or her business. She had been put up to this by Dave Deverell. Now, you just have an incomplete understanding. If you want to know what goes on down there, stop by, visit. We'll be more than happy to fill you in on the ugly details.
Richard, what do you do for a living? What's your career? What's your job?
Well, and that's relevant how?
I mean, what do you do to earn a living?
Well, I don't take any government money. Does that help?
Well, I mean, what do you do? What is your, are you a parasite on the community, or are you...
Didn't I just tell you I do not take any government money? I do not take any government food. I do not cost the government one dime. I maintain myself.
I work in agriculture. I'm proud of what I do. I'll admit it to everyone listening, and I take great pride in what I do. What do you do for a living?
Well, besides my internet work and besides the fact that I do a lot of consulting work, I'm also a security specialist.
Okay.
So, I stay relatively busy, and I don't make a lot of money. But I make enough that I do not have to live off the government. No, you can't go there. I'm not an expense or a burden to my fellow citizens. I pay my own way. I believe in people paying their own way. I am a lifetime Republican. I don't believe in any of the stuff. I believe, Mark, that if you and I knew one another better, you'd understand we got a whole lot more in common than you might think.
Well, I'm just curious, your many interactions with the local law enforcement, local government, I seem to, and most of the people I know seem to, you know, get by through life without having these issues. But my statement, Joe Hemingway to me has been a fine gentleman. He's been helpful. We've had disagreements. I didn't like the idea of the skateboard park at the high school, and I let him know it. But we worked around that. But
I've said it before, and I'll say it again, Mark. Nobody is all bad, just like nobody is all good. I don't claim not to have any skeletons in or out of my closet. I never claim to be anybody perfect, but I do consider myself to be a moral human being. I do consider myself to be an ethical human being, and I do believe that I consider the truth above all else of absolute value and never doing harm to anyone. And I never have ever aggressively gone out and attacked anyone who has not come at me or someone next to me or some fundamental principle on which this nation resides. I live my life from the center of the truth, and I try to fight all my battles from there. And guys like Joe Hemingway are clogging up this system, and he's going to make lieutenant, and it's horrible because we got some great cops down there that should be lieutenant. We got some great cops that if they'd have come into that center down there, there never would have been a problem in that shopping center to start with. And if they put a good one in there now, we could set some role models for the young people that nobody seems to care about that move in and around our community down there.
And the center, which is private property, and the owners and store owners, we should have direct control
over
what happens on that.
You have that wrong. When they ask for the permit to open that shopping center to make money off the public, they opened it up for the public. It is public access, private property. You get the same rights as a citizen on the streets of that shopping center that you have on the streets of the city park downtown, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah,
I know there's a bunch of people sit around and snivel and cry about that because it goes up against them because they just want more control. That's the nature of fascism.
No, you want to control their private property.
No, I don't want to control their private property. I want to protect the rights of those citizens who access that property by the
the agreement by which they got the permit to build it in the first place. Had they not been prepared to allow public access as a part of the application to put in the shopping center, they would not be benefiting from the money that they get by having the shopping center. In order to have a shopping center, you acknowledge the people's right under the law to the public area outside those shops. It is protected by the courts. It is protected by law. It goes back all the way back to before they had shopping centers when there was a town square. And it's just the way it is. And your neurotic snits notwithstanding. It is a public area. And the public has an absolute right to be there. And they have an absolute right, so long as they are not intentionally, directly, absolutely, truly interfering with those businesses, to be there.
And I totally disagree with you. That
well, you may disagree with me, but disagree with the law, my friend. If you're saying that the law is no good and you want the law thrown out so we can live by your rules, then that puts you in my favorite category, the shooters. You got the answer for everybody.
No, you're the shooter. You're
who is? I ain't got no shooter, dude.
You're telling people how they must operate their private property to meet your demands, your needs.
No, sir. No, sir. The law tells them how to do that. If they want to have a private shopping center, have them put up a fence, have them have memberships. There's all kinds of that available. But when they open that up to make money from the public, they are in the public, and it is public access, private property.
And they should allow you and your friends to determine how it's going to be operated. No, it doesn't work that way either.
Mark. And if it's got to be black or white for you to understand it, you're going to be stuck, because the whole world is built on colors of gray. So you are undereducated, over-opinionated, and out of your league. I thank you very much for the call. We'll have to do this some other time. Now, with that taken care of, Lordy, Lordy, I started yelling. God, I hate people that think they know something. This is KSCO, AM 1080, Santa Cruz, California. The call-in lines were almost out of time. It's 479-1080, 477-1340. The nature of these shopping centers was decided in a case called Prune Yard, and it was built off other cases. When these guys opened these malls and shopping centers, the Prune Yard decision was the best example. Some guys set up a table there to gather some signatures, and the people that ran the mall says, no, you can't do that. We own this property. You got to leave. And the United States Supreme Court come back and said, look, at one time in this country, the townships were built around the town square. There was a town square in virtually every community, but there was at worst a gathering place. That gathering place is where a community got together and exchanged ideas and talked about politics and talked about religion and talked about raising their kids and talked about, you know, who's going to win the basketball game tonight. And it was a great social interaction that kept societies healthy, so that there weren't so many people damning the others and there weren't so many divisive areas, because we had this town square to bring everybody together. So when these strip malls came up, They started phasing out town squares and replacing them with these malls and these strip malls and these large malls. And the Supreme Court says, wait a minute, this right to the town square, this right to gather and congregate for these purposes is not only a fundamental right, but it is also good for the society. It's healthy for the society, for this interaction, this availability of interaction of people. So since the right of the town square can no longer be applied in the town square, the de facto town square, which has become these private property, public access shopping centers, that's where your rights to a town square reside. Your right to congregate, your right to discuss politics. Every planning department knows they have to build that community area into the plan. It is there. Period. And whether or not people like it, whether or not they can get used to it, whether or not they want to be anywhere near anybody that's not in their particular little group, is just tough, because the nature of our country is that we are a country of laws, and the laws protect our right to be in that area. And I'm going to take one of these self-aggrandizing calls. Somebody wants to call and thank me. Let's find out who Gerald is. Gerald, are you there? Hello, welcome to KSCO. Are you there? Hello?
Are you?
Yeah, Gerald.
Yeah. Hey, I heard that last conversation, and I was wondering who the caller was.
His name was Mark, and that's okay. And Mark means
I know
well.
A lot of Marks, but I wasn't sure if he was like one of the social figures down in the downtown center.
No, I don't think he has anything to do. He might very well work in that office without that pervert. I don't know. I don't know. I went in that office one day when they had an interim sergeant in there. Her name was it was a young woman. I walked in the door there one day because I had a question for her. And I, at the door, because I'm a cowboy, I was raised to be polite. And I took my hat off, and I'm holding it up against my chest, you know, and I walked in that door, and I said, excuse me, is the sergeant here? And there was this woman sitting there at the front desk inside that center.
Uh-huh.
And
she says, I wasn't talking about that center. I was talking about the one downtown, you know, the council members and all those guys.
Oh.
I thought maybe it was one of the upstanding figures of our community,
but I
missed the first part of the conversation. No, I wanted to say thanks for setting the record straight. You know, we all follow the laws as much as we can until they inflict with our rights, and then we have to find a way to live our lives and deal with these inconveniences.
Yeah, and
a lot of people really don't understand that we're hurting ourselves.
Yeah, you cannot start to separate yourself away from other people, separate people out from yourself without costing yourself and the society the value of those lives. And every single life, every single point of view, every person, including Joe Hemingway, have value. But that value has to present itself at some point, and if it don't, that's the way it goes. Anyway, Joe, thank you very much for calling. Looks like we're wounding down toward the end of the show. Mark, I hope that I was not rude, unnecessarily rude. I get a little frustrated when I run into people that have half a notion about what's going on but really don't know. And I'm sorry, but somebody you're just misinformed. I will be back next week when we'll do this whole thing again. I thank you very much, you folks that called in today. This is KSCO, AM 1080 Radio, Santa Cruz, California. My name is Richard Quigley. It's been my pleasure to be here for the last hour. Thank you very much, Michael. See you next week.